My name is Stephanie Rieger. This is the first of two sessions on women and anger. And today I'm going to talk about expressing anger. Let me tell you first how I came up with this topic, starting with the idea of gentle justice, which is the theme for the summer. I was thinking a lot about gentle justice and what it takes to correct injustice. And it seems to me that it takes at least two things. First, it takes the recognition of injustice. To me, anger is a signal that something is going on that we don't like, that we might call injustice. It can be something going on in the world, like what's going on in South Africa. It can be something going on in your own personal life, like your spouse taking all the blankets at night or something like that. It can be something going on that you don't like. To me, the feeling of anger is a signal that an injustice is occurring. The other thing I think that we need to correct an injustice is a knowledge of power and how to use it, a sense of ourselves as powerful. And I thought that I would do four sessions this week on those two topics. Today I'm talking about anger and recognizing anger. Tomorrow I'm talking about expressing anger. And I'm making a clear distinction between those two, which I'll talk about again in a few minutes. The third session I'm doing is on sources of power, and the fourth one I'm doing is on being powerful. You may have noticed that the title of these sessions is not simply anger and power, but women's anger and women being powerful. And that's because, in my experience, women have a great deal of trouble with anger. Women have a great deal of trouble with conflict, with confrontation. We could talk about why that is if you'd like. Let me first go into some of my ideas about anger and expressing anger. The first place that I start with anger is that it's simply a feeling. Anger is not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. It's not justified or unjust. It's a feeling that you have. And you're entitled to feel anger in the same way that you're entitled to breathe. So anger simply is. And one of the points I want to make is not to surround your anger with a lot of judgments. I used to... One of the reasons I'm talking about anger is because it's a topic I work on a lot in myself and in my own life. And I used to have a meeting with somebody once a week at work, and I would always very conscientiously arrive on time at this meeting, and the man I was working with would always arrive at least 5 to 10 minutes late. This happened for a period of 2 or 3 years, and I would sit there for those 5 to 10 minutes every week trying to decide if I was right in being furious at the fact that this man was always late. And I would say to myself, it's only 5 or 10 minutes, it's not a big deal, why is it so important to me, why am I so angry about this, I really shouldn't be angry, etc., etc. And by the time the person arrived, I was ready to strangle him, but what I was really doing was strangling myself, because I decided I was absolutely unfair, I was unjust, I wasn't entitled to be angry, etc. That was not a productive way to handle anger at all. So the first point I want to make is to acknowledge anger and recognize it as something that everybody feels at some point in time that is simply a part of yourself. The second point I want to make is that I make a distinction between recognizing when you feel angry and what you do about anger. Distinction between feeling an emotion and the behavior that you engage in or the way that you express anger. I'm saying that it's good to recognize your anger because that's a part of yourself. I am not, however, of the school of thought that says you should always express your anger at whoever you're angry at all the time. So I'm making that important distinction. Tomorrow I'm going to talk a lot about how to express anger in a constructive as opposed to a destructive way. But today I want to focus on making the distinction between those two. There may be people that you choose not to express your anger toward because you really don't care about their relationship that much. Or there may be people you choose not to express your anger toward because doing so could have really bad consequences for you. For example, your boss may not care if you're angry at all. There may be people with whom it's very important to express your anger, relationships that are important to you that you want to keep fairly clear and straightforward and be honest and direct, or relationships in which you want to, you might want to learn how to express anger. The main thing I want to go into today are styles of dealing with anger. And I want to point out to you three different styles. I will give you examples from my own life of all three styles because, as I said, this is something I work on too. Since I'm a teacher in my other life, I have to have something to write on, a board to write on, something to write with, or I can't function. Here I am, let me start out. The first style I want to talk about, which is a style I frequently see in women, although not exclusively, is a style that I would call a passive style. I'll give you an example of this. This is something that happened to me maybe 3 weeks ago. Okay, I was going to my aerobics class. I live in Evanston, Illinois, outside of Chicago. It was about 98 degrees in the shade this day. I was going to aerobics class in a room that only had wall unit air, window air conditioners that were turned on when the class arrived. So it's a room about this size with about this many people exercising. It's a hot, muggy, humid, sweaty room. I get there early on purpose so that I can stand right under the air conditioner. So I get there, I get in my place, I'm all ready to huff and puff. And the class is about to begin, and another woman comes along and stands between me and the air conditioner. Now, there wasn't anywhere for her to go except into the wall, so I gradually got pushed farther and farther away from the air conditioner. Now, what did I do about it? I did nothing about it, except mentally I cursed her, I screamed at her, I raged. But I didn't say anything to her. At one point, she even brought her foot down. Those of you who've done aerobics, you know you're getting all these weird positions. She brought her foot down almost on my hand. I snatched my hand away in time. What I did was go, expecting her to understand that what she had done was clearly outrageous, unjustified. She ought to have moved if she had any honor at all. She didn't move. She perfectly went about her business without any problem at all. And I was the one who was very uncomfortable. That's what I call a passive style. You're angry. You get your anger out indirectly. I got my anger out indirectly by glaring at her, thinking terrible thoughts about her. The problem with that is that it left me in a very bad place. It left me in a bad place physically. I wasn't comfortable. I was squeezed. I didn't have room to do the exercises. I was hot, sweaty. I may have been that anyway after these exercises. But it also left me raging for days. And you can hear that I'm still pretty angry about it, right? One of the points that I want to make about anger is that if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't go away. It's still there somewhere. Some people keep their anger in. You can see it in their bodies. Their bodies are very tight and very stiff, and they're really working to keep all that anger in. Sometimes, and this is something that I see in women overeat. Get that food down your throat as a way of stifling all those feelings. The anger doesn't go away. Sometimes it comes out in physical symptoms like ulcers or other illnesses that are related to stress and tension. So passive style, one way of dealing with anger. Another way of dealing with anger is a very aggressive style. What you do in a very aggressive style, in some ways it's the opposite of passive, you really ventilate. You express all that anger. You yell and you fume. And you especially use a lot of sentences starting with you. You jerk. You did it. It's your fault, etc. And I'll give you another example of this. I started thinking about this example this morning. I haven't thought about it for years, and I'm really worked up about it. I'm still angry about it. And when I tell it to you, you will find it, I think, as strange as I find it, because it seems like such a trivial incident. I'm a big reader. I read every night, frequently before I go to sleep. And one year for my birthday, my spouse gave me a pair of reading lamps that go by the side of our bed. It was really a nice gift because I needed a good reading lamp. And I really liked the lamps. And the lamp on my side of the bed happened to break. So I took it to my local repair shop. This is in the beginning of the summer. And they said, fine, we'll have it fixed in a week or 10 days. And I called them a week or 10 days later, knowing well enough you should call first and not drive there to pick up the lamp. And they said, oh, it's not ready yet. We'll have it for you in a week or 10 days. This happened every week for about 6 weeks. And after about 6 weeks, every time I would call, it would take me about a half an hour to get myself worked up to call because I would rehearse in my mind what I was going to say to them. And then they would say they would have it in a week or 10 days. By the sixth week, I was swearing, I was cursing, I was screaming. And the person answering the phone sounded like a very nice grandmotherly type person. I'm not a person who usually swears. Every obscene word I have ever known came out of my mouth on the telephone. I was quite shocked at myself. And I kept yelling and yelling and yelling, when am I going to get my lamp fixed? I was really furious. I would ventilate. For at least an hour after I got off the phone, I would continue to fume. And a lot of the cliches about anger became very true. I literally saw red. Something, the neurons in my brain were firing so quickly. I really saw red. I was so angry. The problem with this style of dealing with anger is that, as in this example, it never got me my lamp back. The end of the story is ironic, I think. The people at the lamp store finally said to me that they had broken the lamp in the process of fixing it, and the part that they needed was located on the south side of Chicago, at least an hour and a half drive. This was in the summertime, and they were very busy fixing air conditioners, which was a much more lucrative business for them than taking 2 or 3 hours off to drive down to the south side of Chicago and get my part. So basically, I was a very low priority item for them. After 3 months of fuming and screaming, they finally said, oh, your lamp's ready. So I went into the lamp store. My husband accompanied me because he was afraid to punch out this sweet lady who answered the phone. And I saw that instead of replacing the part, they had glued it back together. Well, what did I do? I didn't say a word. I paid them for the repair, and I took the lamp, and I walked out of the store. I have fumed about that ever since. It's a very trivial incident in my life, but it's an example of handling anger in a way that was not constructive. I was very aggressive on the phone. I was yelling and screaming and ventilating, but it didn't change the situation at all, and that's why I say it's not a particularly constructive way to deal with anger. There is a third way. Of course, you know I wouldn't leave you with these two ways that some people call an assertive way of dealing with anger. And that's what the session tomorrow is going to be about. But basically, an assertive way of dealing with anger is when you state what your needs are. I could have said to these people, I read every night in bed. This is the lamp I use. I'm really having a problem without my reading lamp. And then we probably could have negotiated. Maybe they could have lent me a lamp for 2 months until they were able to fix mine. Maybe they could have given me the money that my lamp cost. Maybe they could have told me where to get the part and I would have gone and picked it up. There are a number of things that we could have done. None of that happened. None of that negotiating was possible because I was simply fuming and spewing forth. There may be times and places when you want to do this, or you want to do this, or you want to do this. The point that I want to make is that you have to recognize anger first, and then you can make choices about how to deal with it. And I find that lots of women have trouble recognizing when they're angry. What I thought I would have you do is do some thinking about your own style of anger and have us talk about your ways of dealing with anger. And I have a particular way I'd like you to do that. If you brought paper and pencil, you can write some things down. If you didn't, just maybe sit back and close your eyes for a minute. I have three sentences I want you to complete. Okay? Get in a comfortable place. Sit back. First sentence is this. The last time I got really angry, I. The I, of course, is you. Finish the sentence. Okay. Most people read the finger. Let's start with the third one. My anger is like. My anger is like a cloudy day that starts off with a very small cloud coming over a mountain. The cloud gradually gets bigger and bigger until it fills the whole sky and all I can see is anger. What's your anger like?
A volcano. It sits there very quietly for a long time and it gradually builds up the pressure.
So part of your image about anger is that it's uncontrollable, it's violent.
It's an explosion. Uh-huh.
Okay. Part of the volcano thing, too, is that there's a lot of rumbling and noises beforehand. It kind of is there for a while, and then finally it doesn't go away, and then it just goes like...
So it's an explosive...
Okay, so for people watching the volcano, they may have no idea who triggered it, or they may have said something like, have a nice day, and all of a sudden,
that was really good. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Like an atomic cloud that poisons everything around it as well as myself.
Okay, so your image of anger is that it's really powerful.
Yeah.
Really, really powerful. Okay.
And negative.
Uh-huh. And negative and leaves an acid rain behind it. Okay.
I find that sort of looking at that, I find that my anger is like a smoke screen because I often think that anger is cloudy and tiny. What's the real core? It's a mass for what my real feelings are. So for me, it's a smoke screen that obliterates the truth.
So are you saying anger is not a real feeling for you?
I'm not saying it's not a real feeling. I'm saying it's often, I divide it into different categories. There's self-righteous anger, and then there's what I consider to be anger inappropriate, what you were talking about, which often masks her vulnerability. And for me, it's more often that than it is reality.
Okay, I would say it's real. It's there, it's real, but there may be other things there as well.
Rarely is it just the anger that the emotion is coming from. Rarely.
Okay. Okay, so for you, it's with smoke. We've had a volcano, an atomic bomb, smoke screen. These are pretty powerful images.
Yeah. I'd say that's sort of like a balloon, myself being a balloon, uh-huh. taking things in, and from the outside it looks very gay and happy and floating around, until all of a sudden that noise of that exploding balloon is somewhat instantaneous, and then just, and then it's gone just as quickly.
Your anger is gone as quickly.
When that explosion takes place. But the taking in of things builds up the tension that's on the moon until that explosion occurs.
Okay, so again, it's in some ways like what Laurel was saying about waiting a long time until enough pressure builds up and then bam. Uh-huh.
I see my anger more as a two-part thing. Her child being consumed by an angry beast within, the anger of the, because I've dealt more with passive anger.
So if it's an angry beast that's consuming you, it's something, again, very powerful. It's something outside of you. I hope in the process of our discussion, one of the things that we do is take some of this power away from anger. That it becomes something that we're familiar with, ultimately comfortable with. I don't know if we can do that in 2 days or 4 days or 2 years, but that's one of the things I'd like us to try to aim toward. That the angry beast can sometimes be a friendly dog that leads you through the darkness, maybe. There are ways of changing that metaphor. We've had two or three people now say that it really takes a long time to get that anger out, that it's there, but it builds up and builds up. It takes a long time. One of the things I want to talk about maybe tomorrow is dealing with all those things while they're still small, dealing with that leak while it's still a little leak, or that pressure in the volcano while it's still pretty small. It's easier to do that than to wait till the whole air mattress is deflated. But that's a good image again. Your image is different from an explosive image and sort of a deflating image. Okay. Other images?
It's kind of like clouds that can't or don't know how to rain. Just kind of sees their colors and never finds an outlet until the windows are there somewhere.
Okay, so you really hold it all in. Okay.
Mine was the thorn and the fish, just an irritation to myself. Always made me feel miserable.
Okay.
Rather than someone else.
Well, that's not good. We don't want that. If you're angry at somebody else, we don't want you being the one who's miserable, right?
Like your example of the aerobic class, you were miserable yourself, and the person who you're angry
the thing that I think about, that I wonder about that incident, I wonder if she had any idea how angry I was. Maybe to her there was a space there. I don't know. And I never will know because I never said anything about it. Of course, I'm going back to that aerobics class. So. Anyway, but you're right that the other person doesn't even know. You really are keeping it in yourself.
Thinking of those pesky deer flies that are told you at certain times that you, I throw a sputter and slap and go like this, and they still come back, and you don't know really how to defend yourself against them. Maybe not as volcanic, but still.
It's a different image of something that's around that you really can't get rid of, that makes you uncomfortable.
Makes you angry.
Okay, some more images?
Do you?
Well, I think of my anger as a bubbling pot that when the whatever's causing the anger is at work, steam may be rising from it.
But once that situation is over, why call them? I tend not to even remember the feeling or what I was angry about.
For you, you're not like me. I still remember that lamp store. Which means I'm still holding on to that anger. I haven't really dealt with it in a very successful way. And you don't do that.
You know, you're a trained person, and here you're sitting us telling us that you weren't able to say to that lady, I'm sorry I arrived early because I wanted this space.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with that?
I could have given you lots of other examples where I have handled anger in ways that I thought were much better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but on that day you must have been in a low period for yourself or something that you, that day you didn't handle it or couldn't handle it.
Right. If I had that situation to do over again, I would handle it differently. It doesn't bother me though, because it's something that I learned from. It wasn't a big deal in my life. I mean, I could, although I didn't bring up incidents with my spouse or my child or with my own parents that are a lot closer to my heart and are harder for me to deal with, but I don't know you and I wasn't ready to share all that really important stuff. So the incident wasn't enormously important to me at the time. But it was something that says, I'm not perfect, nobody's perfect. These are things that we all can work on and
what
work
would you
toward.
Do next time?
Oh, I say something to him. I would say, when you stand there, I don't have enough space to do exercises comfortably. There are other spaces in the room when you move. I don't know what she would say. Maybe she would say no, and then we could really get interesting. I don't know. Okay, let's take a couple more images and then go on to the next. A couple more images of what your anger is like.
I have the image of a freight train sort of held back, but with the engine revving more and more. And so in some ways it was sort of like the volcano, but one thing that I experienced, and this is all not minor anger, this is when I get very angry, and it's held back like that, and then I feel like it's bearing down on me, and it also it's bearing up outward. I want to run over people. I mean, that's sort of the feeling I get. It's usually, it's not just out like this, sort of, well, sometimes it's sort of random, but usually it's also lashing out. And that feeling of, my feeling of having something speeding towards me is, so in some ways, like you said, a powerful image, but also
mm-hmm.
speeding outward from me
mm-hmm.
to like attack other people.
So if you really let your anger go, it would run over you and everybody in sight.
Well, that's the feeling I have. I don't really need that enough, that really get angry. And it's just,
right.
You know, it's that fear of
right. I'm not saying at all that you do that, but that's
like
the
that.
Fear that's in your mind, which
yeah.
is leading you to act in certain ways. So your fear is that anger is really powerful, uncontrollable, violent, and it's going to mow down everything in sight. That's a powerful image, too.
My anger is like a little, not a big beast, but a little beast, like a mouse or another gnawing, chewing. Animal that just keeps inside of me, that just keeps picking and chewing and won't stop. Chewing and chewing. And then I complain and do and make people miserable around me, but there's never a buildup and an explosion, but there's an uncomfortable frustration that I'm just being chewed at.
It sounds pretty uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think of all the little mice running around here.
I've got different ways of dealing with it, but one common thing about anger in me is that I don't know what it is often, and so it's like a transformer. These toys that little kids play with that transform from one thing to another. It starts out as feeling like a limp rag or depressed or sad or defeated, and then it changes at some point into suddenly recognizing it as anger. And then once it gets to anger, it's a much more manageable and positive thing in a way, because it means you can take, not just feel inadequate, but feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that kind of fits what I feel too. Except that one of the things is that as we were sitting here talking about this, or thinking about this, it occurs to me that anger is different for me as a pastor than it was when I was a teacher. I had more control when I was a teacher of the situations in which I got angry, and my anger did more positive. And if kids misbehaved in a classroom, and I finally said, "All right, I've had it," you know, that there was more of a sense of the anger being a useful tool to regain control or peace or something. But that is not the case in the council meeting or the person that comes to you with outrageous requests. And at least I haven't figured out how to react to that positively. And more often I feel this kind of, I don't know what's hit me, and then later I discover that I'm really angry. And I'd just like to be able to recognize it sooner so that I could maybe come back with some honest feelings of this person.
I don't know about other people. Maybe, Cheryl, it's kind of like what you were talking about. Maybe you didn't, you know, get the chance to take that anger out. But most of the time, I am an aggressive, I have an aggressive anger, and I will spill it all out and yell and scream. And then a week or two or a year later, I would have no idea what I was angry about at all. But then I felt like I shouldn't be that way, that's childish. And so I tried to take on a more passive stance. And I had an incident similar to yours, and it still drives me crazy thinking that somebody could, you know, get away with what they did, or that, you know, they were so uncaring. But it's because maybe that I never yelled and screamed, and I never got it off my chest. Directed at that person. Why did you do that to me?
Sometimes ventilating anger like that, like you say, getting it off your chest, really has a cathartic effect, and you really feel better afterwards. Sometimes you feel worse afterwards.
Yeah.
And you just feel sort of, especially if you're really angry and you may say things that you don't mean, and you may hurt somebody that you don't mean to hurt. Ventilating like that may not be the best way to handle it. And sometimes ventilating, like an example of, I used at the lamp store, nothing changed in the situation. And that's what I really think about. What I think about now is, what could I have done with my anger that would have got me a lamp? Because what I was doing wasn't doing it. So there may be times you want to ventilate, and there may be times you want to do other things. And again, the point, what I'm trying to do today is to get you to recognize your style of anger so that you can start to make some choices. Because I think it's only when you have that self-awareness that you can really begin to make choices about how you're going to deal with anger. Let's go on to the next question I asked you, the sentence I asked you to complete. The biggest difficulty I have with anger is...
Anger at the right people.
At the right people.
I mean, I'll vent it out at everybody else, but not where it's going to do the most good.
Or not the person you're really angry at.
Yeah.
I have a great example of that every day. I have a 3.5-year-old who really needs an afternoon nap, or else he just loses it in the evening. And he doesn't like to go down for his nap here because there are all these kids to play with and things to do, and he's really having a great time. So I take him inside and I put him down, and he takes his teddy bear and he throws it across the room. I don't want to sleep with my teddy bear. Wham! He's furious at his teddy bear. He's really angry at me for putting him down for the nap, but I'm big and powerful, so he gets too angry at me, he knows there's a problem. So he displaces the anger onto his teddy bear. It's wonderful to have a 3.5-year-old because everything is right out there on the surface and you can see all these things so clearly. We are all, in part, 3.5-year-olds and do some of that displacing too.
Mm-hmm. Is that bad?
Is that bad?
Try to displace your anger necessarily. Is it bad?
What do you think? It doesn't, you said it doesn't do any good because
you're still going to be angry. You're not going to get rid of it.
Well, I think
you
might
think about it again
and
you do it again.
But you're hurting somebody else. It's not usually a teddy bear.
Right.
Well,
bad for the teddy bear.
Of people who maybe drag a rave and maybe take the furniture around or something, and it seems to make them feel better, and it hasn't hurt any person, whereas if they took it out on the person they're angry at, it might be harmful. They might say things they don't want to say, or they might hurt someone, and they don't necessarily hurt the wall or the pillow or whatever. And I have seen people take out their anger that way, and it seems to make them feel better, and it doesn't seem to bother anyone else. I don't know. Do they keep their anger? But as I said, I'm not much that way myself. I don't know how to complain and so forth, but I've seen exposed to people, and it seems to be something that I thought maybe I should adapt. Maybe I should explode and scream and kick around and get it off my chest.
Well, I don't think it has to be exploding and screaming. You can just talk about it with a lot of assertive feelings. I can bring home a situation and share with my wife where I've been angry with someone, talk about it with a lot of feeling, but I'm not threatening her at all. She's listening. Mm-hmm. It's getting out.
No,
and so we're dealing with it, and she's helping me.
I mean,
I think you're talking about
anger with the boss. Sure. And you come home to heart. This is what I'm saying. That's not necessarily bad. The teddy bear
was what
takes
would
the brunt of it. Maybe the child feels better and goes to sleep.
Sure. What would be a problem is if you're angry at your boss and you come home and you pick a fight with your wife.
Oh, yes.
That's no, what I mean by displacement. Okay. Talking about it assertively is fine. Picking a fight with your wife because you're really angry at your boss, you can see what that kind of does.
Also, I see a problem with just kicking furniture around and it doesn't change anything. If you're angry with someone and you want something to be different, you're not changing anything. You might want to do both. You might want to kick the furniture and go talk to them. But to just kick the furniture, it's stopping with the furniture. It's not going anywhere. You're not changing anything. And if that's part of what you want done, then that's it for this kind of thing.
I think, well, I know that we need to vent our anger, and like you were saying, we need to recognize what we're angry about. If you can recognize what you're angry about, and like you were saying, discuss it with someone. If you have a sounding board and telling that person what's making you angry, you know, and maybe even physically yelling, but knowing why you're angry, and then being understanding, and then knowing you're not angry at them. You know, I have a friend who will let me yell and scream at him when I'm angry. He knows I'm not mad at him, you know, but it helps me. And I can't think of anyone who does not need, it's healthy to vent your anger. And I think it's very unhealthy to keep it inside, not to be able to vent your anger. I think we do need to, but in a manner that's not going to hurt other people.
I get a lot of satisfaction out of being ignored. It does, it makes me feel better, particularly when I'm mad or upset about something and I don't want to hurt someone emotionally, let's say, by saying things that I don't mean or upset them. You know, maybe it's a nice day and I'm angry and I don't want to wreck everybody else's day. So I'll go into my room and I'll slam the door and I'll sit there for a few minutes for it to pass. And that door slamming really did me a lot of good, and then it kind of goes away. So I think that you can show it in that respect, which maybe is, I don't know if it's violence or not, but right?
I do that I do it with quite. And not until 2 weeks ago. I'm 26 years old, and my mother came down to the sewing room while I was doing this, and she said, you know, Catherine, your father did that all night last night, and now you're doing it all morning, this morning, and it's really getting to me. So if I'd known that something was just bugging the heck out of me, I have at least the ability to go out and run or play tennis and vent energy. I'm not venting anger, but I'm venting energy so I can come back and deal with it on a one-to-one level. But in a sense, slamming doors or sighing heavy is, as if you're in a room by yourself, or you're in a house by yourself, it's not a problem. But it's also good for bothering.
I would say a couple things about that. First of all, you mentioned the word healthy. You think it's healthy to vent away. I would say that there are lots of different ways to deal with anger in a healthy way. And for some people, that might be very useful and help them. And for other people, that may be not useful at all. So it depends on who you are. There are lots of different constructive, useful ways to deal with anger. There isn't any one correct way. I'm trying to make that point real clearly. The other point that I'm trying to, that I would like to make is that it's important to think about what you're angry about and to put that into language so that you can start to do something about that. And the problem I have with slamming doors and banging things around is that that doesn't communicate directly what you're angry about. So to me, there's not a lot of room for negotiation with somebody who's slamming doors. Now, maybe what you want to do, if you're that kind of person, is go slam the doors until you've sort of calmed down enough that you can really see what's going on and you can talk about it. Maybe you need to do that first. But if you stop with the slamming doors, then I don't think you're able to discuss with the person you're mad about what it is you're mad about. That's the problem I have with that.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking the same thing, but I think it's really important to, if you are angry, to not, well, because I do some sort of thing sometimes, especially when I'm at home and I'm angry about, sometimes I know and sometimes I haven't really looked at why I'm angry, but I'll shuffle around, I'll slide things down, and take the dishes, you know, so,
and just,
glare at people and things, and then I'm mad at everybody, and that's the way I'm just sort of mad, and my mom's really sensitive to stuff like that, so I'll get into a fight with her, mm-hmm. just because she says, well, what are you mad about? I'm not mad about anything. You know, you're mad, and then she'll come up with a dozen reasons why I must be mad, and that makes me more angry, because how could she possibly know why I'm mad, but what I found is that people will, if you don't tell them, but you're giving these signals, they're going to start coming up with reasons why you're mad, and they may or may not be.
To make assumptions and make up soap operas.
Right, and then because my mom is verbal, she'll say it, and the least I can say, no, that isn't why I'm angry, leave me alone, whatever, but a lot of people won't even say it, and so you're giving them all these messages, and then they go away, but usually assuming that it's them. Because I do the same thing. If someone else is angry, and they're just going around, and you can tell. I mean, you know they're angry, and I tend to take it personally and think, what must I have done when it may be something else? And I think that's one of the problems with being indirect about it, is you can get all sorts of people, you can get all sorts of miscommunications that are not.
It sounds also like you and your mother have a predictable pattern going, where you fume and rage. You express the anger maybe non-verbally or in your physical aspects or whatever, and your mother is calm, rational, verbal, analytical, maybe not, whatever.
Right.
Okay, lots of times you find pairs of people or triangles of people who have a pattern of anger going that's been going on for years and years and years. That's not necessarily a constructive pattern. There's a good book on the subject called The Dance of Anger by a woman named Harriet Lerner. The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. I didn't order it for the bookstore. You can all feel free to be angry at me for not ordering it. It's a good book. But one of the things she talks about in that book are those kinds of patterns. one person is the expressor of the anger. One person is functioning, over-functioning to express the anger. The other person is remaining calm and rational. And I bet you and your mother have done that dance hundreds of times. Is that fair to say? One of the things to think about is how to get out of those patterns, because we all have those patterns. I have some of those patterns with my own mother that I've done lots of times that I don't want to continue. My mother calls me up at 4 years old and she says things like, lock the doors at night. And I think, when's she going to recognize that I'm a grown-up, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm beginning to learn ways to not get into that dance with her, because it doesn't take us anywhere, except far apart, as we're taking. You don't want to talk to your mother, I suspect, after she does that. You want to get distance from her.
One thing that I do when I get mad and then I try to talk about it is I cry. And so then I'm written off with a bad case of feminine emotionalism.
Goal of dealing with anger in an assertive way is to figure out a way to express your anger so that you're not just dumping on somebody else. Because you don't want to be dumped on. And you don't want other people to dump on you. So there are ways to try to learn how to talk about anger that may not leave you feeling dumped on. I don't want to give away tomorrow's discussion, but we'll get into some of that tomorrow.
I think sometimes by just recognizing the source of anger, if the source is there over a long period of time, doesn't necessarily help. Like, I basically am a creative person. I need a lot of space to reflect and get out in nature. But over a period of 15 years, we had a lot of financial stress and stuff where, constrictions where I can't do that, and I get very frustrated. There's pressures to keep up the house, there's pressures to work, and it seems like, the time to reflect and creative just isn't there. I guess that's what, I don't know how to get out of this thing where I'm constantly frustrated about that.
Do people have reactions?
I keep thinking, I'm not quite sure what anger is. It seems to me that it's always connected to some kind of fear that you have, either being victimized or put into some kind of position where you're powerless. And
it is.
Have
to be still though by the end of the
day. So that it isn't the thing in itself. It's always a reaction to something else that you've walked into or think you've walked into. It might be something that you've imagined. But,
I'm not sure I'm following. It's getting a little abstract for me. But I would say that anger is something in itself. It's a feeling. It's an emotion that you feel. You know when you're really angry. You feel it in your body. And for people who are slow to recognize anger, one thing you might do is really start paying attention to the way your body feels when you're angry.
Anger isn't real. Anger is real, but it seems to me that it's always a response to something that has to do with fears.
I don't know. I'm very angry at what's going on in South Africa. I don't have any fears about it. I mean, in the sense of personal fears.
But you talked about injustice at the beginning of class.
Right. That's different from fear.
Yeah, but I mean, that there's still something. You said, what was your opening statement? Something about injustice? Is always
how I got to this topic. Injustice, you might think of as something going on that you don't like, or you don't agree with. And anger to me is a signal that something like that is going on.
Anger could also be a feeling of lack of control. Your anger in South Africa, you'd like to be able to control, and you feel a sense of no control. And I think that's true even in personal relationships. I think when I get most angry is when I feel that I have maybe the injustice of something that I have no control over. No matter what I do, I don't have any control, and so I'm so angry about it.
And it sounds like that might be related to, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but it sounds like that might be related to what you're talking about. You're in a situation that you can't really change, and you feel powerless, and that makes you angry. The first sentence I asked you to complete was, the last time I got really angry, I told you lots of examples from my life. What are some of the things you do? The last time I got really angry,
I couldn't sleep. I was, my body was so emotionally upset that I simply couldn't sleep.
So you really held all that anger in your body and just kept percolating.
The last time I got angry, it was a business situation, and I was pleased with the way I handled it because I was assertive. But I still had the guilty feeling that I always have with anger. Even though it doesn't feel good. Even though I handled it the way I want, intellectually I handled it correctly. But I still felt guilty and uncomfortable.
Because you don't have the right to be angry?
The last time I was angry, I know I spent a long time rationalizing. You don't have any right to feel this way. You really should.
That's why I started out saying that getting all those judgments away from your anger can be very useful. Otherwise, you do what you do and I sometimes do, sort of stew on whether or not that anger is appropriate or justified or selfish or any of those words. Those words are not useful. They don't get you anywhere when you're talking about the feeling of anger that you have.
Well, I think whenever a person begins to lose control, and usually when I'm angry, even if I'm assertive and dealing with it correctly, you're a little bit losing control because your heart's beating a little faster and it's just not the normal way that you feel. And that doesn't feel right or good or...
I don't think losing control is necessarily bad.
Okay, in my head it is.
What would happen if you lost control?
I mean, the fool of yourself?
What else might happen?
I'm there. Someone else.
What else might happen? Anybody?
Lose your job.
Say things you don't mean.
I think my generation of people, the one thing I heard my mother say more than anything was, what will the neighbors think? And I think that we were built into an idea that we had to behave to make the neighbor. I had one thinking my whole life. I only needed, I'm not even sure I needed that one, but I probably finally that time did something wrong. That's the worst thing I could say. I mean, that's a bad situation. I envy her tears.
She can't express tears. Well, never too late to start.
Well, if you're taught, you can't do things like that. You know, if it gets into you too deep, it's difficult.
Absolutely. I agree that it's difficult.
But I wonder if you would make a comment on just the ability to recognize.
You have a few comments, aren't you?
Pardon?
It sounds like you may have something you want to say.
Near the beginning of the session, you made a comment that wasn't particularly deliberate on how we'll recognize the anger. I don't think that's true just as women, because I am realizing that in my life,
to recognize that it's necessary to even get on the wagon of whether you're passive or aggressive or assertive. So I guess I'm just asking you, in terms of your work with people or your own experiences, there are helpful ways of giving yourself more permission, not so much permission for feeling anger. I, for example, recognize now that when I know there's some anger, I will give myself permission for it. But I just look back and feel like I personally have not done a good job in recognizing the presence of anger in myself. Are there helpful things to start that process?
I think there's a couple of ideas that come to my mind. And one is generally being aware of the topic, being aware of your body, how your body is feeling, being tuned into those, that sort of clenching feeling in your stomach or what, however anger occurs in you, and recognizing and putting the label of anger on that. Another shortcut that I take to figure out if I'm angry about something is I say to myself, if somebody did this to my 3-year-old son, how would I feel? I have no problem whatsoever recognizing when I'm angry at things that happened to him. I don't have any of the, I don't think, would I, am I justified in being angry? Am I selfish about being angry? I know when I'm angry about certain things that happened to him. That's very clear. So I take situations that I'm in and I say, well, if somebody did that to Matthew, how would I feel? Immediately I know how I would feel. Do other people have things you do?
A lot of times I think that there's a difference between the anger that women have and the anger that men have, because from the time that you're small, some situations, a little boy is able to express anger and not be punished for it maybe as much. Well, the little girl will be told that nice girls don't throw things around the room and stomp off and hit. Now, little boys will play around and hit somebody in the mouth. But little girls are told just to walk away and hold it in. And I think when you get to the adults, that's kind of the same thing happens. Men are the ones that yell and scream, and the women are the ones that keep it inside. And men sometimes are the ones who have to learn to control their anger, and women are the ones who have to learn to put it out.
I'm not sure I agree with you. For example, starting with kids, I think that both boys and girls are punished for being aggressive. For example, you will recognize my child because he's the one who picks up a stick and goes bang, bang to random people and will go up to a total stranger and says, I'm going to knock your block off. And he gets punished a lot for that. We cannot hit, no hitting in our family, etc. I think boys do get punished for expressing anger and for hitting and things like
that.
Yeah,
they probably do it more. I mean, the little girl, they start doing that, I think they probably be influenced to not do that real quick, you know, as to, they won't go around shooting people for very long, you know, whether it's some that nice girls don't do that or it's just not acceptable. It's changing a little bit now, but, you know, there's still that thing about what girls can do and what boys can do.
What I find more typically is that men tend to less frequently wonder whether their anger is justified, whether they're being selfish, whether it's okay for them to be angry. That seems to be more common in women than in men.
Yeah.